Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, and welcome to you, especially you, wherever you are in the world. Of course, I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and this is another episode of From Stress to Authentic Success. And wherever you are listening from right now, you know, let's say that I want to begin to acknowledge you, because you're not here by accident. At some point today, you chose to be here with me. And that choice already says something about you and about your frequency. Remember in the weeks, I spoke about my frequency as a theme for this year, 2026. Not just, you know, an abstract concept, whatever, but as a lived experience. And the quality of energy we choose to live from, to me, is such a foundation for true wealth. The inner tone that shapes how we listen, we speak, how we relate, and how we meet life as it unfolds. And so maybe you too today started this year with an intention, probably a word that suits you. Let's leave a little bit the list of goals, but have a real sense of how you want to be in your life. Maybe your word is presence. Maybe your word is connection. Maybe your word is alignment or gratitude or just self-care. Because when frequency shifts, when you change your intention, life will respond differently. Your relations will, you know, your relationships will soften. And everything changes when your inner dialogue changes. So that is why today's conversation can feel like almost a natural continuation of the theme, because connection is where frequency becomes totally visible. It starts with connection with yourself, connection with others, connection with something so much larger than your own thoughts. And when connection is alive, you and I, we don't need to force anything. So what it brings me to is the guest of today. I am so glad to welcome Austin Mao. Now, Austin's work is centered on one essential question. How do we reconnect, truly reconnect with ourselves, with one another, and with the natural world that we are part of? He is a licensed psychedelic facilitator, keynote speaker, and the founder of Ceremonia, a legal and nonprofit psychedelic retreat in Colorado dedicated to the science and the art of connection. So I'm sure we're going to talk about Ceremonia. I'm sure we're going to talk about the retreats that he is actually running. And through his work, he has guided hundreds of people. And I've met him. He's just the most amazing guy. He helps people through experiences that cultivate presence, purpose, and truly a deep sense of belonging. And what is striking about Austin's approach is the way he integrates all these different parts into a coherent whole, he says. His work weaves together internal family systems, a thing I really know well, the circling, the somatic experiencing, the mindfulness. So there's a lot of respect for the nervous system and the intelligence of the body. So he's also the host of the Modern Enlightenment podcast, where he has explored all these themes in conversation with many scientists, researchers, visionaries, always returning to that same truth. Connection is not something we create. It's something we remember. And that remembering changes totally how we live. And so we're not going to talk about theories or techniques. We're going to, I am sure he's one of these people with whom I feel presence, you know, about let's see what becomes possible when we feel safe enough to be ourselves, to meet ourselves honestly and open, and to meet others with a vulnerability like never before. So, as you listen, I invite you to stay connected with yourself. Just notice what feels familiar in your body or resonates with you personally and see. Allow this conversation to meet you at your space. I'm grateful you're here and I'm very happy to share this space with Austin Mao just now after this little break. Talk to you just now.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to each and every one of you. And as I told you in the intro, this is going to be such an amazing conversation with the one and only Austin Mao. Welcome, Austin.
So good to be here, Daniel.
So I just want to start with one question. I have met you in Miami. So we have met live. We've spent quite a few moments together. You have been such an amazing coach in that speaking 5-day intensive. I just want to know from you, where did it all start for you? What is the journey that got you to who you are today? What kind of stresses in your life or challenges in your life have brought you to who you are?
It's funny you mentioned the context in which we met because this was part of my original story that I told on stage when I did the same training a year and a half ago. And I realized that as I was mining for the Rembrandts in the attic, the stories that I wanted to share, that I couldn't actually use any stories from before I had worked with ceremony and plant medicine. Now, I know that might be quite the intro because what I've now dedicated my life to is this inner work of supporting people to accelerate their awakening, their healing with psilocybin or ayahuasca. So with that said, where it really began was about 9 years ago, I was in Taiwan where I would see my father every year. Now, my parents divorced when I was one, and I would just see him once a year over there. And I remember at that time, I treated it like an opportunity to party and have fun. And he just complained of a stomach ache. Wasn't a huge deal. So I enjoyed my holidays. I enjoyed the New Year's Eve. I got drunk, so on and so forth. And then I went back home. The next day after I arrived in Los Angeles, his brother calls me and says, "Hurry back. Your father's about to die." What? He was just fine. He just had a stomach ache. It turns out he had sepsis, he collapsed. He had stage 4 cancer that he was totally unaware of. And so over the next 6 months, I spent the last days of his life with him. And halfway in between, I came back and used a psychedelic with my friends. It was a very scary decision to do that with my father passing. And I realized that I had an opportunity to help him pass with peace.
Peace.
So fast forward a few years, I'm entering a jungle in Mexico to sit with ayahuasca for the first time. Now, ayahuasca is a very potent psychedelic plant medicine and usually held in a shamanic context. Came born out of the Amazon jungle, etc. And it's this, imagine this brew or tea that kind of looks like molasses. And as I'm in that bumpy road, I'm thinking about, what are my intentions? On the first cup that I drink, I have this vision of my father standing in front of me now. Have you ever had a dream where it felt more real than reality? You wake up and you can't even tell what's real and what was not. It was like that. It was so vivid that I could hold him and feel his big belly around my arms. And I thought I had properly grieved him in the 5 years that he had passed prior, but Actually, I didn't realize that what I was missing was the opportunity to show him the man that I would become. I introduced him to my then wife. I showed him the business that I created. I showed him who I am because of his passing. And that was just such a transformative moment for me. But it wasn't until the second time that I drank ayahuasca, which was the day after, that everything like really came together. I had a very little access to my long-term memory. When we were together in Miami, there was another participant there who shared a similar story in that my childhood was a big haze. There was a big fog. And even a few months back, I couldn't recount details. And when I went under the medicine this time, I had the intention of exploring my memories. And I started.
And is that possible? Can you put in an intention? Is that what I hear you say?
Your intention is like a North Star on a compass, right? And so it absolutely is possible. And what happened for me was I started reliving my memories backwards in time in vivid detail. So I could feel the pages turn in books. I could turn my locker combination in school. I could touch it, and the metal was cold. And it was going back in time until I was a child under sheets, and it was completely dark. And then for a moment, I felt horny. So I popped up on this yoga mat in the jungle, and there's 49 other entrepreneurs that are drinking this medicine, and there's candlelight everywhere. And I just say, "What is this?" And when I went back in, I realized that at the age of 4, I was touched in a way that no boy ever should be. And suddenly I said, "Oh my God," this realization that I had this original sexual trauma. And as a 4-year-old, I had this confusion, this guilt, this pleasure, all these experiences that a young boy would have no idea how to process. And I realized that my mind repressed that memory, right? I had studied psychology in school, but I didn't know I would be a textbook case. And then I started going forward in time in this vivid vision, and I could see how I was a bully as a kid. I had sexual confusion as a teenager. I couldn't hold on to passions or hobbies as an adult because I would simply forget that I loved those things all the way to the present moment in time where I took this big inhale and I realized, wow, if not for that moment, if not for the history, if not for my father passing, I would not be here now on this yoga mat in the jungle. With this experience, realizing who I am today. I am who I am because of everything that's happened to me. Every moment I've turned left when I could have gone right, every time I've fallen and picked myself back up. And I was so overcome with gratitude and joy at the realization that it substantially changed my life. It was not a new story in my book, it was not a new chapter, it was the whole sequel to who I would become. And now I've told that story on stage at TED, in Mind Valley, and in so many different places. And each time I feel in my chest, in my heart, this warmth because, again, I am who I am sitting in front of you today because of all the experiences that I've had, the challenges, and the celebrations.
I agree. Life happens not to us, but for us and through us. So it's a beautiful way to go back actually to the origin, little traumas, big traumas, whatever they are, so that you can see your own transformation and growth. So beautiful. So one of your specialties, when I read your bio, is to you, it's important how connection can be the foundation to any healing and meaning. And when you say connection, can you explain a little bit to anyone listening what you understand with connection to self, to others, to the natural world, whatever you are meaning with that?
I see connection not as a light switch that you turn off and on. It's not like I'm connected or I'm disconnected. There's a spectrum of connection. Let's say that on one end of the spectrum, to be totally disconnected, it might be something like being in the throes of addiction, right? Taking pills to sleep, being completely isolated. Oftentimes we hear connection, we think, oh, am I connected with you, with my partner, with my parents? But what about connection to myself, my feelings, my experience, to the natural world, right? To nature. And so connection is this multi-pronged experience that we can have. On the other far end of the spectrum, you might view connection as, well, that spiritual term oneness, right? Feeling very deeply connected at a spiritual level, right? And so it's a word to attempt to describe an experience. And it's a completely insufficient word. Just like love is a completely insufficient word to describe
I agree.
that full experience. Now, the reason why connection is so important, so valuable, is because it helps you feel safe. The first emotional psychologist, Plutchik, he created this beautiful emotional wheel. You may have seen it. I have it pinned on my, as a magnet on my refrigerator. It says, here's our primary emotions. There's happiness, sadness, anger, so on and so forth. Secondary, tertiary emotions. And he says that love is equal to safety plus joy. Imagine that for a moment, right? In order for you to feel love, you need to feel safe and happy. And in order to feel safe, right, we come from evolutionary origins where we were in tribes before. And in order to feel safe, we had to have people around us to help us, to defend us, to support us. And now we are in an increasingly disconnected world where even you and I right now are talking on a Zoom call. God bless the technology, and at the same time, how much more thrilling could it be if we were in person, right? Connection is a core recipe for feeling safe and therefore for
I
feeling.
love that. Can you repeat that? Because I so want everyone listening to grasp it. Sometimes a conversation goes so quickly, but what you're saying is actually so essential.
Yeah. Connection is a core part of feeling safe. There's two kinds of safety. There's inner safety and outer safety. Inner safety is, do I feel safe to be with my thoughts, my emotions, my memories, my experiences that come up, the content that's there? So I've worked with hundreds of individuals in the context of these healing retreats that Ceremonia runs as a nonprofit. And one individual, combat veteran of two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, he came and he couldn't even close his eyes because there was so much trauma back there that. That just to be with his own thoughts and emotions was too hard. Hugging him might induce such trauma that he couldn't walk to the bathroom by himself. And so that's the inner safety. Do I feel safe to be with myself? And I view the best form of inner safety as self-empowerment, aka I got this, right? I have the tools and right. Now, outer safety is, do I feel safe in this environment? Are there predators around? Am I warm or cold? That's very physical, but do I feel safe with these people, with these facilitators, or in the context of psychedelics, with all these people tripping balls together? And the best form of outer safety, in my opinion, is connection. And this gentleman, after he came, he was dancing and smiling. He actually wanted to get on stage and share this message because he felt so self-empowered and so connected that he actually felt fully safe to be himself, fully safe to be authentic. And
You
so
mean
that
for the first time after all the trauma, and he felt that inner safety, that inner feeling of belonging to yourself almost, right? It's like
Yeah.
in your own skin.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting about that is we use these words like healing, right? And I feel like that word carries a lot of baggage. And the baggage is because it infers that you have some wound or some issue
That
to
there's something
heal.
wrong.
There's something wrong with you. But in the shamanic world, it's not so much healing, it's more so a homecoming, a return, right? Now, the field that I'm in is psychedelics. And in 2013, the Imperial College of London Center for Psychedelic Studies put advanced meditators clocking more than 30,000 hours into fMRI scans. Now, these are really bald and horny monks, okay? And those under psychedelics into the same fMRIs and found that two areas of the brain called the default mode network were temporarily quieted. Now, these are your patterning sections of the brain, okay? A pattern might be something like, oh, I touched this hot pan as a kid, tss, and I get burned. I create a pattern in my brain that says, don't touch hot pans,
Grateful for that.
right? But a more complex pattern might be like, my parents divorced when I was one and I was raised as a single son to a single mom. Another complex pattern might be, don't give my heart out too early because someone might leave me. And that pattern can be ingrained as I go in life and get more and more calcified, right? Now, when people are under psychedelics or in many hours of meditation, that default mode network quiets. So your brain reverts to a childlike state, just like children. Okay. Now, if
Like a
you,
joyful, you mean? Or
I
just
would
child imagination, just no
impressionable.
limitation.
Impressionable. Like they're able to learn so quickly. If you
Yes.
ever try to teach a kid
Yes.
piano or a new language, they
Yes. They're
absorb
very
it.
quick.
Try to teach it to an adult and they throw the book down like a tantrum. And so it's, do you ski, Danielle?
A little bit.
A
Let's
little
see
bit.
if I
Okay. If you've ever been down a mountain and the ski tracks already laid, it's
Yeah.
really hard to get out
Yes.
of those tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. But
Yes.
imagine being able to shake the snow globe and now there's fresh powder there and it's really easy to carve new tracks.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So that's what happens in the psychedelic experience. And that's what happens in the context of safety.
Yes.
Because when we feel safe, we're actually able to carve new tracks. When we are under-resourced, when we feel challenged, when we feel attacked, we default to a default that we have in our default mode network. And so by having connection, by learning self-empowerment, and if people so choose, by engaging with plant medicines, it really creates the opportunity for us to repattern our brains. And
I
that's proven by
agree.
science as well as thousands of years of practical use.
Wow. Now, can you give me a story that you maybe haven't told anyone about yourself and everything that has to do, maybe even with what you're doing today, but a personal story that reflects a little bit the stress that you have been under as a child of a single mom, as a what was one of the biggest challenges that you think that has also contributed to who you are today?
One of my core memories is when I was about 8 years old, my mom was broken down on the floor crying. She had her back to our chest of drawers. And as an 8-year-old, it's funny, like when I look back at the memory, it's hard to remember that I was that size. But I remember as she was broken on the floor crying, I was pretty much her head height, right? As I was standing. And I just remember holding her and singing to her because at that moment, all I knew is that she was in pain and I had to save her from it. Now, fast forward to about 2 years ago, I was a facilitator in a ceremony at Ceremonia, and my teacher, Jesus, asked me to play music and sing. Now, you have to understand, Jesus is a Grammy-nominated singer.
Wow.
This guy is like an incredible singer and one of the most embodied individuals, and he serves ayahuasca at our center. And second thing you should know is my mom is an opera singer, and she's been on radio in China, et cetera. And in that moment, while I was under the medicine, I recounted all the times where I try to open my voice and music would not come out.
Come.
And I would judge myself and I would beat myself up. But in that moment, I was myself as an 8-year-old singing to myself, right? Singing to my mother, singing to myself, and singing to all the people in the room as I was playing this beautiful instrument called a handpan. And the song that I sang, that I improvised, just like I improvised song as a kid, was about gratitude, about taking a deep breath in and feeling the beauty of life. In that moment, I feel like I reparented a part of me that was so scared to use my voice
Wow.
to channel what was inside of me, right? So scared to reveal that really tender, vulnerable part of me that thought he was not good enough to save. And
But
since then,
we
I've been
are,
taking.
aren't we? Is there always not a part of us that is feeling that not good enough and that is not expressing our true voice and our voice totally? And can I just ask you something? Because I really love your story about this. Wasn't it a natural, how would you say that? A natural intuitive feeling of you to sing for your mom, because singing, music, sound, the singing in itself is like a quieting the central nervous system. It's one of the best things, the humming, the singing. It's one of the best things to conquer stress and to lower that whole sympathetic nervous system. So isn't that amazing that you started singing?
Absolutely. When you're a kid, you don't know why you play with dolls or you play with make castles out of sand. You don't know why you sing. You don't know why you laugh. You just do it. You do it because it feels right and natural and easeful to do.
Yes.
But going back to the studies around the default mode network, something that's always really fascinated me is that when in the tribes they give kids psychedelics, the kids don't. Yeah. I know it's shocking to us because it's been made illegal since the 1970s around the world, but imagine for thousands of years, these tribes have used ayahuasca or mushrooms in tribal living.
Okay.
And they'll feed
I
it to
didn't know that.
pregnant
Yes.
woman. Now, I'm not advocating for this. I want to go on record and say, please don't give your kids psychedelics. But what I have heard from these stories is that the kids actually don't experience anything different. Now, how fascinating is that?
That is
That
very fascinating.
if the psychedelic experience equals 30,000 hours of meditation equals childlike experience, what does that say about our what
Conditioning
healing
as
means?
adults.
Yeah, healing is actually getting us back to a state of being that we already were. And this actually returns back to safety because if you think about
Yes.
it, humans are one of the few animals on the planet that if we were born and your parents weren't standing in the waiting room there, that would just be the end of us.
Yes.
We
Yes.
need our parents to take care of
Yes.
us, to feed us, etc. And we implicitly trust our parents. We have to do that. And that's our, they are our source of safety. But as we individuate, we become fully functioning adults, we have to find our own safety. And that can be really scary.
Scary.
It's scary when your bank account is in danger of hitting negative. It's scary when your partner threatens to leave you. It's
Agree.
scary what just walking outside in some places on earth.
Wow.
And as we learn, so much of the healing journey is to learn to be self-empowered, learn connection so that we can feel safe to fully be ourselves and who we are truly is that intuitive, self-expressive, natural state of being. And we can apply a word around it called authenticity, but that means something totally different for everybody.
So, what is authenticity for you, for yourself? Because
I
it's a
think
term that is used so much, and I use it in authentic success just to say that I always say the more you are yourself, and even in that childish version of yourself, and that you have that imagination, that potential that you feel is inside of you, I just feel when you're aligned with who you are, success is a natural thing that follows. Look at you, Austin. Look, you have found your voice, you have found your, and authentic success is becoming a natural thing, isn't it, for you?
just like connection, I think that authenticity is a spectrum too, right? Last night, I was, my girlfriend and I were deep asleep, and then I farted and it woke her up and she was scared. And I think that was an authentic expression for me. And she's like, why don't you hold it in? And I said, I'm trying to be authentic. But you go to the far end of the spectrum of authenticity, upwards and to the right. I think authenticity is an inspired way of living, right? And if you look at that word inspiration, what does that bring up for you? For me, it's artistry,
Oh, yes.
creativity, a reflection of beauty. And I think that just like the story that I imparted of me singing, that when we are tapped into the most authentic version of ourselves, we are singing and dancing and praising and enjoying that is that a flower can enchant us. For minutes at a time, that just feeling the glow of the sun on our face can feel beautiful by sharing a smile or a hug with someone, can
I
feel like
agree.
something that penetrates our the very nature of our being. There's poetry that flows through us. So
Imagination.
imagination, absolutely. Creativity really flows.
I shared that on stage about being a grandmother, and I just want to share it with you because everything you're saying makes me think of that next generation. That childish, to me, it's the second generation already, my grandchildren. But when they have their imagination, the dinosaur can sit on the roof And the whale can be in a glass of water. You know what I'm saying? For them, it's such a beautiful. So I'm so glad we're talking about that because I found that quite something that we've all lost. So what you're saying is that for you, authenticity is to go back more and more to that kind of inner world again?
Yeah, and there's like a natural way in which that can come through. I was reading a great book called Beyond Anxiety by Martha Beck, and she was sharing a very simple concept that our anxiety is effectively a fear without that's unable to be solved in this moment. If I feel anxiety about my bank account, I can't solve that problem in this very breath. And we've built that up over time. And she prescribed that just doing things with your left hand or using your left side of your brain with by creating art or playing music can help alleviate some of that. And playing music for me is part of that. Singing is part of that. Taking walks in the park is
Amazing.
part of that. And when I find that relief, what naturally comes through me, which again is a childlike part, is a part that tends towards joyful expression, honesty, connection, creativity. And I think that really says something about the human experience. I think there's a lot of hope for humanity when we can experience and realize that actually the default way of being for who we are is like a child, is like a smiling, joyful child.
I agree. I think that's so beautiful. So what I want to, time passes too quickly. What I want to ask you, if is there any statement, quote like that that you live by for yourself and for your next project in the future? Is there anything you want to say about that before we close?
I'd love to read you a quote and then I'll share a little bit about what we do. This is a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a Buddhist teacher, wrote over 118 books before he passed. And he says, "The Buddhist attitude is to take care of anger. We don't suppress it. We don't run away from it. We just breathe and hold our anger in our arms with utmost tenderness. The anger is no longer alone. It is with our mindfulness. If you keep breathing, mindfulness particles will infiltrate the anger. When sunshine penetrates, the flower cannot resist. It has to open itself and show its heart to the sun. If you keep shining your compassion and understanding on it, your anger will soon crack and you will be able to look into its depths and look into its roots."
That's the best anger, if you can call it management, but I don't want to call it management. It's more like an anger, like accepting the anger and let it be and let it. It's such a beautiful. I know the a few of those quotes of him that I really enjoy. So thank you. I'm going to repeat that one in the outro so that people can think about and reflect on this because I think it's such a beautiful. We don't have time to do it now, but I think it's such a beautiful little poem almost to look part by part and see what it means. But can you share the anyone listening who's interested in your work, in what you do, in the ceremonia, what is it your next project? Just short and sweet, and I'll repeat it in the outro for anyone who's interested.
Great. Ceremonia is a legal and nonprofit psychedelic center in Denver, Colorado, in the US. And we hold retreats monthly. And
Every
so, if
month.
every month we have a retreat with psilocybin, and they're either 3 days or 6 day retreats. And we also do online trainings as well. And fundamentally, what we do is we help people develop skills and build connection so that you can feel more self-empowered and more together when you engage with these extraordinarily powerful plant medicines.
Beautiful.
And for those that want to come and have a transformative, life-changing, and life-affirming experience, look us up at ceremoniacircle.org.
Yeah, I'll repeat all that in the outro for anyone listening. Is there one sentence or one word you want to end this conversation with? Because I think it has so much in it. Anyone can go and listen again. They can listen so many times as they want. But is there any word, any phrase you want to repeat or end with?
Just gratitude for this time that I shared with you and with everybody listening. Deep appreciation for your attention. It is the greatest gift that anybody can give and for me to receive.
I agree. And same to you. Thank you so much for being here with me. And I will have a little break and I'll come back just now. Thank you so much, Austin.
Thank you, Daniel.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome back to each and every one of you. And as we come towards the end of this episode, I'd love to stay with you just for a few more minutes and let this conversation land. Because what stayed with me the most from this beautiful conversation with Austin Mao is a very simple truth, actually, that it's all about healing. He said it so beautifully that healing is a sort of return, a return to yourself, to a place inside of you that already was there, that feels familiar and real. It's all about feeling at ease in your own body and being present in your own life. Now, when you hear Austin talk about psychedelics, it is something that humanity has known for thousands of years, which surprises me. It's across cultures and traditions. It has been used to support healing, to get more insight in who you are and into connection. And what touched me so deeply is how Austin described the role of those psychedelics as a way to remember exactly who we are beneath all the things we carry. It's like a homecoming, a soft arrival back into your authentic self, being fully yourself. And we spoke about how powerful it is to feel that safety in your own skin. And when that safety is there, you and I, we both know that life flows differently because you will be more present, will be listening with even more space, openness. You move through the world with a totally different sense of belonging. And that sense of connection, whether it's with yourself, with others, with life, it's like the heart of everything we have been talking about for years and explored together in this conversation. This is all about true wealth, isn't it? So at the very end of our conversation, Austin shared a teaching from Thich Nhat Hanh that stayed with me. And I want to bring it back here with you, as I said. He speaks about anger with great kindness. He reminds us that anger, it only wants us to pay attention, to care for it. Because when we meet anger with that awareness and that presence and that compassion, it begins automatically to soften. And anger becomes like a doorway to understand yourself better. It's something inside of us that wants to be heard. And it invites us to go deeper into our relationship with ourselves. And I so love this little text. And this teaching fits beautifully with the theme of homecoming, what we discussed with Austin today, because healing happens when we stay present with ourselves and offer that beautiful care to every single part of our inner world. And as you listen right now, just see and feel if you recognize something in this, if you may feel maybe something inside that reminds you of who you are. So trust that something meaningful can come out of this. And if you feel curious to explore more about Austin's work further, as he offers these monthly retreats, and I, for one, am surely in the coming months or year and a half will Definitely invest in one of those, even if it's just the online trainings that you are curious about. Go and find all information at theceremoniacircle.org. You can find it on our website. You're welcome to explore and see what speaks to you. And before we close, I also want to acknowledge something that really touched me today in this conversation. How beautifully Austin expressed his gratitude to our conversation, the gratitude for this shared space with you, for your presence and mine, for the attention we bring together when we truly listen to one another. And I want to expand that gratitude to you. Thank you for being here, for listening, for sharing this moment with me. And wherever you are right now, I trust that you carry with you that sense of homecoming, that sense of connection and trust in yourself. Bye-bye for now. I'll speak to you very soon.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.